Special guest,
Sam Allen.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host, Dave, and as always, alongside me is
Trevor.
Trevor, what's happening? How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave, as always.
Oh, you are? Yeah, that's right. You are always doing well. When at least whenever I ask, you say you're doing well.
Yeah, it's certainly what's the word? Euphemism. Is that right?
Yeah, sure. It's like when people in the South say, "Oh, bless his heart."
And yeah.
They mean he can go F himself.
Okay, that's not what I meant.
Okay. It's like you're doing the American version where someone asks, "How are you?" and you say, "I'm fine." You don't actually answer the question.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's cool.
The podcasting running podcasting version of that.
Well, podcasting and running podcasting was invented in America, probably.
Probably.
So why not take that approach? But yeah, what a exciting week over here, huh?
Yeah, great chat with our latest special guest, Sam.
Yeah,
rock and roll artist, musician, and runner.
One of my favorite categories of guests we have is somebody who is a musician that we then find out is a runner, and then they then find themselves as a guest on the podcast.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't mind me broadly categorizing his music as rock and roll. I was trying to explain to one of the young apprentices what rock is and how, you know, heavy metal is a part of rock, like a sub-genre or phylum or whatever, genus.
You mean you hope you're not being too broad by saying rock and roll?
Yeah, I think or too specific.
You want to get it just right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I prefer broad over specific as a musician myself.
Yeah, well, as he knows, having revealed that he has also listened to several episodes in preparation for being special guest, he knows that special guests end up being referenced later on future shows.
That's right, which is exciting because we haven't even cut to the interview yet. I already want to start referencing back to it, as is my natural impulse and inclination.
Yeah, referencing rock and roll artist and runner Sam from Wildlife.
I'm looking for, yeah, so instead of looking back right now, I'm looking forward to next week when we can fondly remember this episode and how nice it was, and I remember the good times. We had that cool talk with Sam.
Figure out where popular runner Jim Pergolesi will find his way into the episode. You know, all the usual stuff. Open the mailbag, you know.
So much good stuff. I love this routine and you know, you can set your watch by this kind of stuff.
It's kind of like running itself. Sort of just strap on the laces, put the blue microphones in front of us and just let it go. And it's routine at this point.
It's pretty great. Yeah. Loving being a podcaster. Love podcasting about running. And I love this chat that we just had with Sam Allen from Wildlife. So maybe we should stop teasing it and maybe we should cut to that right now.
Yeah. We'll be back with some more business after.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Is this your first time coming on a running podcast?
You know, this is my first time coming on a running podcast. It's not my first time. Well, I did listen to a few of your guys' episodes, so that was cool. I really enjoyed it. I listened to one on a run, which was a good way to pass the time. And
oh, excellent.
Oh, nice. Well, you know, you're already fitting in with the format perfectly, because one of our favorite things to do is reminisce about good times we had on past episodes.
Nice. That Alejandro Escovedo one, that was entertaining.
Alejandro's great. Yeah.
I've never been on the same podcast that Alejandro Escovedo's been on, so that's exciting.
It's pretty cool, right? Yeah, this will be the first of many, hopefully. Maybe next you could be on the Marc Maron podcast.
Hey, yeah. Yeah.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, share that in common.
We suspect many of our special guests come on having not heard the podcast before. So it ended up being a bit of a surprise.
Well, I'm new to the podcast. I do anticipate here listening more.
Oh, sweet.
Probably not to this episode, but to future episodes.
No, you don't like listening to yourself?
No. No.
I think I've probably listened to like everything I've ever done. Like, you know,
you listen to the podcast?
I mix it, I edit it, and then I do a QC, but it's like a post upload QC. So like I listen to it late.
You have to.
Yeah. We've become much more lax about QCing the episodes. Like we used to really mm-hmm. listen to them before uploading them. Now we're just like, well, it's not life or death, you know.
I have noticed the quality is terrible. So
yeah,
so,
exactly. And if you listen to it, yeah, if you listen to an earlier one, you wouldn't have noticed that. Although no, I did learn a bit about like sound editing along the way. So if you did actually listen to the first five, yeah, they sound probably a lot crappier, just sound and stuff like that.
Yeah. A little compression, a little EQ.
That's it. But those are the basics I learned that somehow, in 40 plus years of living and playing music, I had escaped me until then.
You don't want to learn too much. You still want to, you know, keep some of the freshness of not knowing.
Just discovery. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one of our central themes, I think. You know, when you're unprepared for things, it comes as a surprise when you actually get there and do it.
I always had that approach with music for a long time, and I eventually kind of abandoned it. But I think a lot of musicians do. I don't know if you, as a musician and a guitar player, had this, but I had like, and I know a lot of musicians who had an aversion to like technical proficiency and like playing correctly, mm-hmm. even.
I mean, like, so I kind of I took lessons kind of like close to the beginning. Like I, you know, kind of figured shit out on my own for a while and kind of along with lessons. And then I went to music school for college and like learned like it was like, you know, you learn all about theory and everything, and it was mostly for like recording music. But then afterwards I was like, fuck, like I feel like I learned too much. Like I want to it took a while to like after that kind of try to not try to remember how to like not use music theory or be like, oh well, I don't like, we got the 2-chord and 4-chord and just like play with what sounds good.
Yeah, instead of knowing
so
what,
it's definitely
what... You can never go back.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get back to that beginner's mind.
You gotta like pick up a new instrument, you know?
Yeah. Well, my girlfriend plays piano, and like when I'm at her place, I'll try to play, and I'm fucking terrible. Like I suck so much. So so yeah, that's definitely like playing something different.
Yeah, we have a piano. I've played guitar for like 28 years or something. But piano, I definitely am an eternal beginner on that, which is great.
Yeah, like if it's got black keys in it, then I might be able to do it, but it's definitely gonna take some sitting down and figuring stuff out.
Okay, one thing we always do here, and this is just like the Alejandro episode, maybe you remember this, we ask the special guest to say their name and introduce themselves. And you can say anything you want as long as it includes your name, so we can splice it into our intro theme song. But if you want to introduce yourself and add anything, that'd be great.
Well, my name is Sam Allen. I play guitar and I'm in a band called Wildlife. And I also run.
Yes. Yeah, you're one of my favorite categories of guests, which is a musician who we then later find out also runs.
Well, the running is, you know, came way after the musician bit. So
okay.
Still definitely very new to running. Like I see you're doing marathons and everything, and like that would be one day maybe I can get there, but definitely not there yet.
I imagine you're pretty close because I mean, we knew each other through music, but I would see on Instagram you're putting up stories of your runs, and maybe a couple years ago,
you know, if I had a good one, I want to, you know, feel good about myself, throw it up on the gram.
No, but what I always remember, especially seeing them, is always seeing one going, damn, that's fast. This dude's fast. that was my impression.
Thanks. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. It ties into not knowing what you're doing so much. Like, I'm just kind of going out there and running, like for the half marathon. Like, that was the first time I actually tried to like go out and like each run have like an, like, you know, I'll do a slow one for like this many miles and then like a fast one for this many miles. But before that, it's just kind of going out and running.
We call it soul running.
I like that. But the long, slow ones have become like, you know, my favorite ones to do.
Those are my favorite. And Dave, I will say you went from like full soul running to getting a lot of advice from our listeners and special guests, some of whom are like world-class, you know, runners, very good runners. And I feel like the more structure you put into Los Angeles, like relatively, actually helped you a lot. You did a lot of like specificity on the uphills and stuff like that.
Yeah, regrettably.
Oh, uphills.
Yeah, oh yeah. I regret saying it, but yeah, all the expertise and good advice I got and know-how I put into my training probably contributed to me cutting 20 minutes off my previous marathon time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how far, how long, like, what were the uphills like? Was it for like a long time, or did you like go up and then go down and then go up fast? And I don't know how those work.
Mostly it's because last year in May, I ran my first marathon in Providence, Rhode Island. And one thing I learned while running that marathon was that I was not training with enough hills. Because there's just not a lot of hills in Providence. There's some for sure, but it's not crazy. But they were just killing me. Because training for that marathon, I mostly ran along the Hudson River, which is a great place to run. I don't know if you've ever done it, but it's like pretty flat.
Where?
So like, because I live in like the West Village, so I would, you know, leave from my house and then I'd run to the river and then run uptown. Sometimes like as far as the GW Bridge.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but often just as far as 125th cool. Street. Yeah, and like, anyway, it's a great run. Really, really flat.
Flat.
Yeah, it's just flat. So, and you know, most marathons, I think they do have a decent amount of hills because they cover variety. So I did a lot of training this time around before.
Yeah. Central Park, that like hill, that you got some hills to train on there.
Yeah, no, so that's right.
Never ran it, though.
Oh, it's great. That's nice. Where I did most of my training for this past marathon.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good way to get really, really good at running. I see those people like, they look tired. It seems like a hill that just never ends.
It's awesome.
And then you have that really big hill too.
Yeah, no, it rules. I love it. And then when I got to LA after training in Central Park, I just like, I think there were more hills in LA and they didn't bother me at all. I was going to ask you about your experience running the Brooklyn Half. You just did that and you just set a PR, right?
Yeah, well, PR, because that was the first time I've run that far in my life, so it's it's a PR, still counts. Yeah, it was like, it was my first race ever too, so it was definitely like a good learning experience. I learned a bunch of like what to do, and I think I did do some things well. Like, I didn't really study the course at all. Like, I looked at a picture and I was like, I know those streets, like, yeah, fucking, I just go there. Yeah. It looks nice.
You live in Brooklyn. Like,
and like, you know, I usually run, I've run to like here and I'm in Williamsburg, and like ran around, it goes from McCarran Park, Brooklyn Bridge, up to Prospect Park, and like I've kind of done all of that separately but never all together. But then there's these like turnarounds where you go just like seemingly forever, and then you have to like, and then you see all these tired people on the other side running back. You're like, oh shit, when is this? Because you don't see like when you actually turn around.
Yeah.
And like, it's in my mind, they're all uphill, because it's like you're running and then you're going down, but then like big uphill. And that happened one time. That was like, you see the park, you run towards the park, and then you're seeing Prospect Park. Then you have that turnaround to your left down Eastern Parkway. And then like after that, I felt good, like, okay, almost done. And then there's this other turnaround that kind of just, like, I don't remember how it happened, but it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then you have to do the same thing again, and then you end in the park. So, but I feel like not knowing the course, that was actually benefited me, because everything was, like, new.
Yeah.
And, like, just like, oh, here we are, and I'm just gonna keep on going.
Yeah, there was no terror of knowing that there was a big hill coming in 2 miles.
No.
It just came when it came.
No. Yeah.
I like that.
I think I did that well. I didn't time the waves particularly well, because, like, it was my first time, like, going to, like, getting there early. And, like, you know, I was kind of, you know, anxious about, like, every possible thing.
Yeah.
But then, like, you get there and, like, everybody's waiting for the bathroom. And so it's like, I was wave, it's like on my thing, it said wave one. I was like, if I don't get, like, I'm not going to go wave one. That's, like, too early for me. So I thought I was going to go in wave two, but then just, like, you wait in the bathroom for, like, 45 minutes, and it's like,
oh yeah.
And it's, like, hard to get into the race. Like, I didn't realize that that's a part of racing. I don't know if you've had that experience, but, like,
it's a whole thing, man. Yeah, especially, and that's a pretty big race, right? It's like 20,000, 25,000 people, right?
Yeah. It was, yeah, like, they were like, yeah, 22,000 people in this race.
Yeah, no, there was an amazing part at the beginning of the LA marathon where we barely got to the start line in time. And then, yeah, and then all the bathroom lines were insane. But the good thing about that was it was in the parking lot at Dodger Stadium. And so there was there was a big contingent of people just using the woods at the edge of the parking lot as a bathroom.
I was like, if we weren't in this, like, caged off, McCarran Park pickleball court, I would totally be in the woods.
No, you can't do that around McCarran Park, or you shouldn't. Not these days, anyway.
But
yeah, no, the bathroom line and all that, and planning for that, and, like, that's a whole thing.
Next time, that's going to go in the planning.
See, Trevor always runs in the woods, right? You're always doing these trail runs.
Yeah, but the first trail race I did, same thing. My friend and I were kind of, like, warming up and stretching and running around a little bit in the parking lot, and then realized there was, like, you know, 1 or 2 minutes before the race was about to start. And so we sprinted from the parking lot to the start line, got right to the front of the pack, and then turned around and just basically ran. Like, we got there at the end of the countdown. And I was like, oh shit, yeah, we're like out front now. But thankfully, I mean, not a huge race, I think 150 total. So nothing like Brooklyn. And so you kind of, like, have enough space early on that people kind of, like, fell into their right, like, zones almost. And you end up, like, running in little packs for, like, some of it. But, I think it is a very different experience than what you guys are describing.
Yeah, that sounds really cool, though, running in the woods, the trail running experience. I've never done anything like that.
Yeah, it's fun. You should check it out.
Yeah, I never really do that either. Trevor's always trying to sell me on on trail runs and these super crazy long, because you run longer distances than me, right? What's your long? Well, yours always involve a lot of elevation as well.
I think
hills.
Yeah, just a lot of elevation, but they're not longer than yours. I think the longest I've done is, like, right around 25.
Okay.
A little over.
Yeah, but, like, up a mountain, though, right?
Yeah, across the mountain.
Is that all, like, and so is that, like, is there parts where you're not totally running? Because, like,
correct.
I feel like if you're running up a mountain, it could get dangerous, is all I'm thinking.
Yeah, the funny thing with this sport is when you tell people about it, and it's not, like, super popular. I mean, I guess it's getting more popular, but still, like, a lot of people just don't know, you know, much about it, if anything. And they're like, everybody's like, whoa, like, you run. Like, it was the same reaction I remember having when my friend started doing it. Like, whoa, I can't believe you ran, like, over 20 miles, like, over all these mountains, like, you know, that are often, like, a single one of them is, like, a good day hike, you know? And it's like, you do it all just continuously. And I was like, how is that possible? But the answer is exactly what you said. You just go super slow for a lot of it. Like, the uphills, technical, like, you know, I don't have the strength or stamina, and, like, also just, like, can't, like, risk hurting myself too much. So it's like, I'm not going to
Yeah.
You know, so you take
Well, I feel like going like the downhills too, like that's that could be kind of challenge. You ever take like any tumbles, any big spills?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I definitely tumble a lot, but thankfully not on like the like
not
steep,
down a mountain.
steeper like downhill parts or like rocky parts. For the most part, I crash on like a root and like fall in the woods somewhere.
When you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
I feel like
or when I'm tired, like, trying to like keep a low gait and like not use much energy and then like end up like kicking something that's hidden under some leaves and I'll just go all out, like flat out, like digger.
Well, it keeps it exciting, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something for the crowd.
Never know when you're going to just eat shit on the trail.
It's one of my favorite things about this podcast is sometimes we'll have like a few weeks in a row where Trevor's describing a fall he took on a run. And it's one of my favorite parts.
Battle scars.
Yeah. Wait, so Sam, so what was your PR half marathon time?
The official time was 1:46. But I think I guess like that's how just long it took. But like my pace on my, because I had this like handy watch that I get from my amazing girlfriend.
Oh, nice.
But it was I think it said my pace was 7:59 because I ended up doing a lot of like running in between people.
Yep.
Because at the end there, so like I didn't make the second wave, I was on the third wave, which means like, you know, I started like later, and then like I kind of had to like do like be kind of a dick at the end and just like try to like do some weaving, which was like a whole nother, which I didn't think was going to be like part of this experience at all, but yeah. And they send you the pictures afterwards, and like there's a few pictures of me with like my like kind of like foot like going in between a few people, like, oh man, like I'm a jerk.
It happens at the end whether you're trying to be a jerk or you're in the correct wave or not, because people are, you know, at that far into a race, people are at different places, and some people's plans have gone well and some people's plans have not gone well.
it is a race after all.
I wasn't really like thinking about it as a race until like the final, like I could actually like smell the finish line. I was like, oh shit, like it's like a mile and a half left, like I'm gonna air it out here. So
nice,
that's a great feeling, right?
Yeah
I love that.
I mean, the whole thing was I enjoyed it. I tried to like think about it like you know, sometimes you're playing on stage and like at the end of it you're on the last song and you're like, fuck, like I just played a whole show and like all I like was totally in my head and like not like just enjoying it and having a good time. So like I tried to like think about it a bit like that when I was running and be like, this is actually pretty fun, like I've never it's a fun experience.
Oh, that's great. I know exactly what you're saying. I can relate to the performing aspect as well, kind of same idea. It can fly by and you're like, wait, you know, like there's something, something about the last song has that for sure. Like, I don't know why it doesn't kick in halfway through the second to last song. That would be reasonable. That would be fine too. But it does, it kicks in when you like start the last song. Yeah. And like, for whatever reason, I don't know what the equivalent in a race is, but I guess, like you said, when you can smell the finish.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember when that was in the LA marathon, and I just started like running like real, real hard. But on the other side, you know, like the people you were cutting off in Providence, when I was dying at the end, I never got that.
I don't know. There must be something like awesome about finishing the race though. And like, you're like what, you know, you're done. Like you got no more energy.
You don't want to finish with anything in the tank, right? Like you don't want to be like,
right,
I could run another couple miles, because that means you could have run
faster. I didn't want to run any more miles afterwards at all. But I was like, maybe I wish I was a little more tired.
All right, good. Well, I guess that's something.
Not saying I'm like, you know, in the like this peak shape, you know, running person, but like, you know, next time maybe I'll try. Good to know that maybe I could like want to do it again.
Yeah, you could talk. You think you're gonna do another half?
I don't know. You want to do a half marathon?
I would, but you'll like totally.
Are there any good ones coming up? There's like I've seen there's like some just like around Prospect Park where it's like three loops around Prospect Park. That seems like
seems fun.
Not so much. I don't know. Just like kind of like oh, okay, three loops.
There's probably a million. There's when I've tried to find which marathon to do at different times, I look it up and there's just a marathon every weekend or there's three marathons every weekend. So I think halves are the same.
Well, yeah, if you want to like travel.
Yeah. But even if you just like kept it pretty local, there's probably a bunch of half marathons around New York this summer. I would be totally down to do one, although you'll totally smoke me because your pace is like, that's like how fast I run 4 miles. That pace.
Oh. So, well, kind of, you know, I'm not going too much faster when I'm doing.
Well, I'm always
4 miles too.
I'm always down to try to get faster. I've never run like a proper half marathon though. I kind of just skipped like all the way to marathon. Mm-hmm. Because I know
what did you run before marathon?
Nothing, like just soul running. I would just like I would just run. Like I've always liked running. And I've never been particularly good. I did briefly run track in middle school and high school, but I wasn't like good, you know. I was a high jumper, so it's like I was okay at that. I was an okay high jumper. That's what I was. But you didn't do track in high school, huh?
I didn't do track. I played baseball a little bit. I played baseball and a little football, and then kind of quit to do the play in the band.
Nice.
Because it was taking up a little too much time.
We've had some guests who have that same background. That's kind of like Susie Hot Rod's background.
Yeah. And I just like, you know, towards the end of freshman year baseball, I wasn't playing that much. You know, I was a kind of the pitcher. And like, I don't think I could have taken like, you know, knowing that I wasn't good enough to make JV of baseball. So I just didn't try out.
Oh, you mean sophomore year? Like,
would have thought about that the rest of my life.
Because there's there's the freshman team and then there's JV, right? And then like, what happened? There are people in between who just don't make a team.
You got to try out, you know, if you don't make the team, you're cut.
I'm trying to remember. I thought in my high school, every sophomore made JV, but I don't know. That's when I quit baseball.
It depends how big the school is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think like most people made it, but I didn't want to be, which made it even worse.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to be one of those people. That,
if you went to some giant like state champion high school and you didn't make it, that's fine. My town was pretty good at baseball. And when we were 10 and 12, like my age group, my age group won the New England championship for Babe Ruth. And I don't know why I keep saying we, because I did not make that team, that all-star team that competed, but it does make it like, yeah, it makes it feel a little better that I didn't make the team since the team was that good, you know?
Yeah. Well, go, go your town.
Yeah. 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 They're cool. Anyway, yeah, Trevor, you played baseball and football.
Yeah, they occurred during the running sport seasons, cross country in the fall and track in the spring. But I did run track my senior year, which was a better choice than baseball. Yeah.
Oh, so you played baseball 3 years and then switched to track senior year?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Did the high hurdles. That was my main event.
Yeah, you just got a couple jumpers over here doing a running podcast for some reason. Yeah, I don't know. There's a question I just learned that I like to ask two episodes ago, which is, are you the fastest member of your band?
The fastest member of my band? I've run with Russ before. I very much enjoy our runs together. But I will say I'm faster than him.
Okay.
I've never run with Spencer. I'm sure we would, not sure he runs that much, but I've walked with him. He's a great walking companion.
I was going to say, it seems like he'd be a good running companion, even if not the fastest guy in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say I'm probably faster than those two.
Okay.
But, I don't know about Dave. Dave's kind of a wild card.
Yeah.
Like Dave kind of when he sprints, he'll he looks like kind of Terminator evil T-1000 sprint, and I feel like he can turn it on for I don't know distance wise, but he does. He's a very good stationary biker. So
he's a good skateboarder.
He's a great skateboarder. He's a great skateboarder. So I will say I may be the second fastest.
Okay. Wow.
In the band. I don't know about if me and Dave do a sprint, then I might lose that.
Okay, fast
is all about the distance, right?
It depends on the race.
Yeah. In a half marathon, you're the fastest.
Yeah.
And in a sprint.
So far. Stationary biking, he has me beat. He'll beat me in a stationary biking race any day.
I think.
We had an entrant in our event that we did once and talk about often, the community mile, where we sort of put out there that everybody should run or, you know, participate in a mile, report their time and level of enjoyment. And one listener entered the stationary bike category.
Oh yeah.
I feel like she got the fastest mile, which would make sense.
The stationary bike was the fastest person to compete.
I believe so.
But so now she's going to have some competition at the next one, you think?
Perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let him know. It's on.
Didn't you guys have a music video where he does that, like, that crazy T2000 sprint?
Yeah.
What video is that? I can't remember.
I think that's in the, possibly the right, I think, where we're all trying to kill each other over a piece of pizza.
Classic video.
Classic video.
But that gives me a good excuse to splice a cut of that song into the episode right here.
Yeah, good call.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are we filming? Are we recording?
We don't ever release the video. We do, it is recording, but I always just
So this is the podcast now? I thought we were just
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Oh yeah.
The podcast is just subtly different from a real life conversation.
That's how it should be.
Well, we try to keep it as similar as possible. Sometimes Trevor and I finish and then we talk afterwards, and sometimes I think the conversations we have off pod are just like the podcast but a little better.
Sure that's going to be the case this time.
Well, I don't mean related to whether there's a guest or not. I just mean like because we're not recording, so they all of a sudden just get a little more magic.
Oh yeah. You know, I got you.
They get more real because I think you're always trying to make it feel as real as possible,
right?
And like pretend that we're not, you know, I don't know, performing or whatever. That this is just a slice of life.
Feels that way.
Yeah, I think it feels pretty close. I think you get there. You slip in. It's like meditating. You slip in and out of it. You know, like you're like perfectly meditating for a while, and then you start thinking about the fact that you're meditating, and then you start thinking about other things, and then you.
Do you meditate? Are you a meditator?
I do. Although I've been pretty bad about it recently, and by recently I feel like I could mean like 5 years, but.
I started kind of recently, and like I'm into it.
It's great.
Try to start the day with like a, just like I have like the, like an app. Like if I didn't have this, what's it? I think Headspace.
Okay.
But yeah, start the day off with a little meditation. And like, I think now like I'm kind of less like strict about it, because before like I had like with the app, unfortunately, like I had this, like it keeps track of like your streak. So I was like, oh shit. Like I don't want to like miss my meditating streak. Yes. And like, I felt like, at some point I was like, oh, this might be defeating the purpose.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And I feel that with a lot of, I mean, even like running apps or my super green owl that's teaching me foreign languages. Like they're all like that.
It happens to me. Even without an app, my relationship with running is sometimes such that like, yeah, I'll get in my head and get to the point where it's like, why am I doing this? This is a thing that I'm, you know, doing for enjoyment and like health and like, you know, I like it. Why am I, you know, fixated on some like completely trivial thing? Like,
yeah,
like, oh man, my heart rate was bad on that last run or things like that. It's just like, you know, what's the point?
My favorite one, I mean, I'm only really on one app that tries to make you use it every day. And so that's why it's my favorite one. But my favorite one is Duolingo, the green owl, because he'll like start pestering you and then you start ignoring him. And then another character from the game emails you and asks.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, okay, I think
I
we're know. All
on, yeah. I was trying to like jam in some Spanish because I went to nice. To Mexico. And like I had like, I was like, okay, I'm leaving in 2 weeks. Let's you know, fire up the high school Spanish and try to remember everything I learned. And yeah. I felt like I was kind of learning some stuff, but then like I was like kind of maybe too chicken to even try to speak Spanish and when I was there.
I know.
That's maybe always... just a little bit. But then like afterwards, like it got really angry that I stopped taking it. And like the actual face of the app or like the image of the app changes to like an angry owl. And it's like, it was like, oh, so sad. Like
he gets
that
sad.
Made me
yeah.
want to do it less. That made me want to do it less. Being like, oh, come on. Like
he's manipulative.
So much. Yeah.
Yeah. He's manipulative.
Not going to be manipulated.
That's not cool.
We're running low on time. So, but there's a couple things I wanted to squeeze in. One thing, and this is also so I can edit it in, is I wanted to ask about Tough Love. Your solo side
wow.
project.
Wasn't expecting that.
Well, I'm editing it in as we speak, unless you send me a cease and desist, in which case I'll take it down.
Go for it. You'll be my listener of the month.
I feel like that I feel like you might have been releasing that around the first time I saw you doing posting runs on Instagram, and I was listening to some of it today on the treadmill. I think it's good running music.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Yeah, I mean that was like a pandemic thing. Had a little more time on my hands, so you know, used it for to be creative, and like I hadn't like that was kind of the first time I've done like everything, like
yeah,
singing, making the songs and singing on them, and yeah, that took a little while to be like to sing and then listen to your voice and try to listen to it more objectively than like oh. My fucking voice, you know.
Yep.
But
that's the ideal pandemic experience, right? Like musical side project, solo side project, and running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember running in the pandemic too, like wearing a mask, like thinking back on that now, it was such a crazy time. But yeah. After I was like running with the mask, and I was like thinking like, oh, when I take this mask off, I'm going to be the greatest runner ever. But didn't really do much.
Yeah, no, same. We used to refer to the mask that first summer as elevation training.
yeah.
Yeah, like, right, this is for when we have to go run in Colorado. You know, we'll be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll actually. Be ready for that time.
Yeah, I don't think it did anything. But that's okay. It was an interesting, weird experience. So I appreciate that. As I said, we are running low on time, guys. Is there anything else either one of you want to squeeze in before the clock runs out?
Well, I ran to Year of the Snake Wildlife album. That definitely runs too.
Thank you.
So there we go. We got like three things I can edit in now that we mentioned. So that's good. Do you run to music, Sam? Like, do you listen to your headphones? Yeah.
I usually make a playlist for like almost every run kind of way too obsessively. But
nice.
But yeah, you know, some pump up songs for the half marathon mix. I tried to like add some like. So maybe some rollers and then some rockers, some like mm-hmm. kind of not too fast, but had some AC/DC, Thin Lizzy, some hives, replacements.
Nice.
Good mix.
Yeah.
Pump ups.
Sounds like a good mix. If you want to share it, that with us, we'd share it with our listening audience. They always appreciate a good running mix.
Sure. Oh, sure. Let me check if there's anything too embarrassing.
You can edit it. You can
erase it and then send it.
Exactly. You could change it for public consumption. That's fine. All right, guys. Yeah. I guess we are out of time. Sam, thank you so much for coming on. This has been great. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Sam.
Totally. Thanks so much for having me on, and hopefully the little bit of this you can use, and look forward to listening to more of your guys' podcasts. Been fun.
Hells yeah. It's all going up.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Wow. Thanks so much, Sam, for coming on. That was a really awesome talk. I loved it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sam.
Sam from Wildlife and from Tough Love, as we mentioned briefly, almost felt like a gotcha question, even though it wasn't intended to be one.
Sam from Wildlife, who now, having listened to our intro, knows that in the world of the Power Motion Picnic Hour, he's known as special guest, the rock and roll artist and runner, Sam from Wildlife.
That's pretty good. I don't think anyone could take offense to that.
Might be the longest special guest. I don't know if we can shorten it. We can shorten it as we go. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll let it happen naturally.
You never know. But yeah, great chat. Awesome to talk with you, Sam.
Yeah, awesome. Oh, well, here we are on the other end of the episode, the post-interview portion, which is fun as well. I guess we could talk about business or whatever we want, really. It's our podcast. There's no rules.
Yeah. It's almost like you're talking to yourself while editing this in the future, like, and now we'll cut to part two. This is to be clear, like, this is after the interview.
I do love editing the podcast, and it's a bummer when, like, sometimes when you're busy, you know, and it's kind of a pain because it can take a little bit of work sometimes. But when I have the time, I really love it and enjoy doing it.
Yeah. This is where, despite our counsel's advice, we've continued to reveal more of the secrets of podcasting behind the scenes.
People are into that these days, right? I mean, like, I think the main takeaway most people have from listening to a podcast these days is I should start a podcast.
Yeah, because to be clear, this did not happen sequentially. We just spoke with Sam, then we recorded the intro and outro, as I think we've previously revealed, and is probably not too surprising to most.
No, but as our strategy of learning as we go along, our first interview didn't go that way. The first time we ever did it, we just had the guest call in mid-episode, remember?
It was fun. Yeah. We all know who that was, but...
Yeah, no need to name names.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna change topics a bit and pop out a letter from the mailbag.
That's reasonable. Go for it.
All right. So this is actually a live race update too, from some listeners that are following the Cocodona 250.
Okay.
Special guest Cole Crosby is running it and was in, I think, 20th place overnight, like something like 90 miles in or something like that.
Wow.
And I don't know where this update came from, but a little further on, we heard that Cole's out of Cocodona.
Oh no.
Hamstring pull or tear.
Ah, live update that we're going to deliver to the listener 9 days after it happened.
9 days after it happened.
Cause let me tell you, I got a busy week and
well,
I'll be editing this on the weekend probably.
For those who haven't or weren't, you know, live tracking the Cocodona race and you know, had their eye on Cole, I don't know who that would be among the listening community, but for those who might not have been doing that and might have avoided the water cooler conversations, this is news. They are now just hearing this for the first time.
Wow. Yeah, it is. You're right, it's going to remain news for most people whenever that, even if they listen to this episode a couple of years down the road.
And it's going to be out there, like the news will be out there at this point. But if you want, since we don't know who the winner is just yet, you can wait until the next Power Motion Picnic Hour to find out.
That's right. And we'll update you on that. And who knows when that'll be, but you know, it'll be all of that much more sweeter the longer you have to wait to find out.
That's what we're going to say anyway.
Yeah.
And if you get antsy, you can just look up the results that are, to be clear, available now when you're listening to this on the internet.
In the spirit of real soul running, just do whatever feels good.
Do whatever feels good. Yeah. All we know is Cole DNF'd. But special guest Katie Scheid won the Canyons 100K. Did we share that last week? I forget. But
I don't remember, but congratulations, Katie.
Congratulations.
Possibly congratulations again from us. We're proud.
Well done. Yeah. Love to see the community doing well out there. We've got some special guests that are going to be running in the upcoming Paralympics, which we'll provide some coverage of.
That's right.
When? September, late August.
Well, I don't know. I think the trials were in August and the games are in September, right?
I think that's what we learned.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. We still got a little time, I guess, before that happens, but I'm definitely looking forward to it.
But it's fun to sort of trace all these special guests as they continue to do great things in the world. We've got special guest Jesse's 70s running boom inspired solo album, I think under Pneumatic Tubes, coming out. Which is one of his solo projects names. We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of exciting stuff. Brendan's out there.
Yeah. Popular, minimalist composer, Brendan Eder.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's coming to New York soon. Hopefully there'll be a live show. I've been trying to get him venue somewhere with, I haven't had a lot of luck, but hopefully somebody else has had some luck.
Well, we wish him the best.
Yeah.
Broad update on special guest activity.
There was one topic I wanted to ask Sam about in our interview and I forgot to, so maybe I'll mention it here, and in case he listens he could write into the mailbag, although he said he wouldn't listen to this episode, so I'll ask him. But I wanted to get his opinion about Stuart Murdoch and Belle and Sebastian and the great debate that we started last week.
Right. I was wondering if it was going to be about ELO, but I meant to ask him something about Stuart Murdoch, or at least reference something as well. I think for a moment we talked about him joining the ranks of, you know, your favorite type of runner who's also, yep, you know, musician. Because, yeah, that could have opened up, you know, our one of our podcast inspirations, Joe Strummer.
That's a good one, too.
Stuart Murdoch. I mean, there's several we could have gone deep on.
Oh, and you know, we should update the listener on some research we did since the last episode.
Oh, which, yes, is, please.
I think last episode we didn't know whether Stuart Murdoch was a runner or not.
Oh, correct.
And now we do know that he ran a sub-3-hour marathon when he was 17 years old.
He was 17.
Yeah.
He just went out and thrashed a sub-3, which they say, and against this wisdom, they say that you're supposed to be like an older runner. You know, you have to sort of build up all that stamina and everything. Not Stuart.
Most podcasts would do this type of research before doing an episode, but we decided to do it after. And I've learned plenty about him since the 40-minute episode where we talked about Belle and Sebastian the whole time.
Well, we talked about this a little bit with Sam. It's, you know, part of keeping it fresh is just sort of, you know, doing things without much preparation.
Yep. Let it feel real. But I did learn that, yeah, Stuart Murdoch was a marathon runner as a teenager. And then he came down with chronic fatigue syndrome.
Mm, yeah.
And it was during, and so I think he couldn't run. And it was during that era when he became a songwriter. So there you go.
Quite the runner back in the day.
Yeah. Quite the runner, quite the future potential special guest at the Power Motion Picnic Hour. So I have no idea how we would get in touch with someone like that.
We can only try.
I think we do have a listener who used to work at a sandwich shop in Glasgow that has made him prepared or sandwiches and prepared foods and sold them to him. So maybe she has some insight.
Slip a note about the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Yeah, well, she doesn't live in Glasgow anymore, but maybe she still has connections in the city.
Yeah. Well, this is fun. This is up there with the bus stop ad, only even less likely to actually happen.
We'll figure it out. Yeah.
I think we might have an upcoming special guest from the UK who might be able to help.
Maybe they know Stuart Murdoch. It's not that big, the UK.
we could get in touch with Tom Bosworth. I mean, there's all kinds of angles we could explore.
Now that we're talking about it, we have a lot of inns over there in the UK. And where's Tom Bosworth live? Kent? Is that where he lives?
I'm not sure.
Something like that. So yeah, whatever. You hop on the train, 8 hours to Glasgow.
Did you do any of the research that we assigned the dear listener last week? Watching or reading of the Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner, or the listening of the Iron Maiden song?
Yeah, I listened to a little bit of the Iron Maiden song, and I didn't care for it, which is why I didn't edit it into the last episode. I was like, and then I cut out. There was a portion in the last episode where I said I would listen and edit it in, and I trimmed that down to just saying I would listen, because I was like, I don't care for this. I know we try usually not to say negative things about music on here, but that's what happened. And then we did assign, yes.
Yeah. I might have misstated. I think it might have been whether it was two or three guitars is beside the point. But I think it might have been a two guitar band at that point.
They sounded like nice guys.
Yeah.
And then we assigned a short story for listeners to read, The Loneliness of a Long Distance Runner. And I said I would read it before the next episode. And at like 11 p.m. last night, I found it online and downloaded it. But it's like 86 pages.
Oh, yeah. So that's...
I would have needed to plan ahead a little bit. That's pretty long for a short story. I don't know if that's like a novella.
It's more like a novella.
Which is fine. I'm still going to read it, and I'm looking forward to it. But I'll read it on my own time. I'll read it whenever I finish what I'm reading now, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say you should watch Free Solo, but there's actually no need to do that for any reason.
Okay, good.
I mean, it's a good movie, but other than that, like, I don't think there's much more. I think we covered it. I'm sure we'll hear from a listener soon. The thing is, we just released, it's kind of interesting because we just released the episode that we're referencing so frequently just this morning. So the mailbag hasn't really filled up. We haven't gotten much response. So
that's right.
We're kind of still in the dark on some of this.
This is kind of like,
I think it's Yosemite.
This is like, do you remember the television program Mr. Show on HBO? Mr. Show with Bob and David. It's from like the 90s.
Yeah.
There was a sketch on it once where they had a pre-taped live call-in show. And so people would call in during the show, but they would always be getting the wrong week because it would be like airing a week after from when they tape it. And it just cuts from like... It's like shot week to week to week of David Cross getting more and more frustrated that people are calling in for the wrong topic. That's what this is like. This is, but he was joking, but we're actually doing it.
Yeah,
we should steal that idea sometime and try to do a call-in show.
Yeah.
I guess they're all call-in shows though. So
yeah. Well, I guess I should update. I know we're kind of running a little low on time, but I will say I'm proud of running the past 2 days, doing the old fashioned running.
Let's hear it.
Well, I went out yesterday for just a trail run, one of like the classic sort of loops I do near my house, one of my favorites. And I found out that I was in a lot worse shape than when I left off three weeks ago. Like the uphill stuff, definitely couldn't push it or go like I used to. So like you lose it pretty quickly, but it also gives me confidence. I can probably build it back because I haven't done structured training or really like hill work for like properly for some time now. So
yeah, I think you lose it quickly, but it also comes back pretty quickly.
Yeah. But yeah, I was a little bit dismayed by my run yesterday, but then went on the tread today and had a pretty good run, felt good about it, set out to just do 20 minutes, ran for 30. Just chipping away with little bits like that, like consistently, is like my main goal right now.
Oh, perfect.
But
yeah,
try not to pressure it too much and be like every day, because that's not going to happen. But like basically, you know, by trying to sort of make it a smaller time commitment, just make sure I can do it like,
yeah,
you know, hopefully most days.
Yeah, I think if you do, you'll be fine and you'll enjoy it and you'll fall in love with running all over again.
Yeah. I think part of it will be building back some of the you know, endurance and strength, and then feeling good about it when I get there. So
yeah, you could,
it's an exciting journey to look ahead to.
If you were making a running playlist, you could kick it off with Just Like Starting Over by John Lennon. That's what I would put on there.
Yeah, well, I think we might add that one to the Power Motion Picnic Hour playlist, which includes a combination of songs of the week, songs we've referenced in Instagram stories or on air. So yeah, good sort of mix.
Every type of running song there is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good to be talking running. I was running in the tread today at the gym, and a trainer who works there that I talk to a lot said something like, I saw you on the treadmill, you were on there forever. And I wanted to be like, well, you run slow enough.
It
totally works. I didn't say that. I thought of that after, but I thought of it in time to share it on the pod.
Yeah, I know how that goes.
Yeah, gotta get back outside. Although I think it's a rainy week in New York town, so I might have to wait till some of that passes, and then I'll get back outside.
Here, tell us some of that around here.
You guys are gonna get some of that rain if you don't have it already up in Greater Metro Boston town.
I'll get out in it, do some running. Do some hill running.
No excuses.
Well, we introduced sort of a new character, this sometimes listener from Vermont, who's not, by the way, listener Dan, who devout listener, listener Dan, who like introduced the world, the listening community, to the idea of free soloing a pizza. And he was describing a meme to me that was something like, you know, I saw some guy sitting by himself in the bar and, you know, walked on his phone and walked by to see what he was looking at. And it was just a slice of pizza.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love someone describing a meme. That's even better than when I get like attain some sort of self-awareness and realize I'm in a conversation and I'm just explaining an old Simpsons episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think those are some of the beloved moments here on the Power Motion Picnic Hour when we just drift off into randomness. But
into whatever.
I was thinking about it. The thing that made me think about it was Sam's description of the music video with his really fast short distance runner band, the fastest member of Wildlife, but then not able to do like longer distance.
He
was talking about how the whole band was like trying to kill each other over a slice of pizza.
It's a good video. I recommend it if anyone hasn't seen it. That's The Right by Wildlife. But yeah, not a band of decathletes. Everybody's more specialized in the running events in that band, I guess, which was interesting to learn about them.
Yeah. Yeah. But the sort of like pizza related thread to all of this really explains a lot about men, I hope, to all members of the community who might be curious.
I think that's right.
The secret's out there.
I think that's right. All right. Well, I think we covered everything, right?
I think just about.
We'll be back next week with you know, however long from now next week is. We're gonna soul run our way to the next episode, and when it happens, it happens. But when it does, we'll see you all there, dear listener, and dear whoever is out there listening in Belgium and around the world.
Des Moines.
Yeah. Welcome to the fold, Des Moines. You're with us forever now. And yeah, until next time.
Onward.
Special guest,
Sam Allen.
This is the Power Motion.